The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Welcome, everybody, to Positively Trek, and welcome to 2025. We're back! We're back! We're making episodes again. Yay!
Yay!
I'm Dan Gunther. With me, of course, is Barry DeFord. Barry, how's it going?
I am very well. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Well rested from a bit of a holiday break, which is nice.
Yeah, no, it's funny actually. It's just at this point now that we are recording that I'm finally feeling like kind of I can take a day off. You know, there's nothing is open, there's nothing going on. You can't go anywhere, you can't do anything. it's a nice forcing me to just relax today, which is great. So I'm happy about that because work starts again tomorrow. So it's all good.
I know. I was just going to say, so for the listeners, we are recording this on January 1st, 2025. So we're up before our respective households recording in the wee morning hours of 10 o'clock.
Yeah, no, this is uncharted territory. I like an early morning recording though. I've already had my coffee, which is the best part. So like I'm a human and I'm functional. So that's at least the plus side of doing an early morning recording. Are you an early morning recorder often, Dan, or are you more of a late night owl recorder?
I prefer the morning generally. Get it out of the way, get it, you know, when your brain's a little fresh, maybe a little bit groggy from the night, but I don't know. It's a good time for me usually.
Yeah, I would say I'm actually more of a morning recorder if I think back to all of it. And usually it has to do a lot with time zones for me.
Yeah.
It's nice to kind of have like the fresh brain. It's the first thing you think about. So like, you know, the day hasn't kind of addled you into different thought processes. So I like that quite a bit. And there's a lot to talk about today. My goodness.
Absolutely. Well, to kick this off, I kind of want to just talk about you about how your holidays were.
Yeah.
Did you get up to anything Star Trek related, or did you get any good Star Trek loot this holiday season?
Well, I did actually. A student of mine and Mad shout out gave me some bookends, and on one side of the bookend, it's Mirror Kirk from the original Mirror Universe episode, and then the other side is the standard Captain Kirk. So you get both of the Starfleet and the Imperial insignia on either side. So that's kind of like the big ticket Star Trek item, which is good too because I have sort of set my books up in a very haphazard way, and this will fix that, which makes me happy.
That's awesome. Yeah, I think I saw that when I was at over at your place there. I meant to ask about it, but I think Hallmark put those out. That was one of their dealies. Yeah, that's awesome. Those are really cool.
I was pretty excited about that. And other than that, because we are kind of entering into that sort of before classes start again for students. So the kids are home right now. So I might try to slip in a Star Trek movie here in the coming 72 hours or so, just to see what I can get away with. But other than that, what about yourself? How was your Star Trek-y holiday? Did you have anything Trek-related go down?
Yeah, it was pretty good. It was relaxing. Not a lot of... We tried to keep the gifts to a minimum, so we didn't do a bunch of gifts and stuff. But one thing is... Blue Bricks, who make the buildable Star Trek Lego-like things. Not allowed to say Lego, though, and I just did. Whoops. They recently lost the license to produce Star Trek stuff, which is unfortunate. They made some really good stuff, but their website, there were some bargains to be had, so I picked up a couple of sets they're selling off there. I just actually checked, and a lot of them are sold out now, but there's still a few if people want to pick them up. So I kind of got that as a gift for myself. That's taking the slow boat over the ocean to get to me. So it'll be quite a while before I get those. But also round two, Polar Lights has put out a USS Cerritos scale model, and I have that on pre-order. So I'm excited to get that as well. So I have delayed gratification with my Star Trek stuff from the holidays.
I mean, it's not like it won't be there, and you'll have it longer than you won't. So
yeah,
the patience of waiting. I guess you could give yourself a Ukrainian Christmas present then, potentially.
Oh yeah, there we go. Yeah.
or late January present.
Yeah, or maybe a Lunar New Year present or something like that.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's put it in a red box. And
be like, excellent. It's easy and quite look. Perfect.
Well, with this episode, what we kind of wanted to do was give a little bit of a 2024 year in Star Trek review and do a little bit of a preview of what's coming in 2025, what we can expect in the new year for Star Trek. And you know, when I compiled this, it's actually a little bit more than I thought. So we've got some interesting stuff to talk about. And then I figured we'd wrap it up by kind of giving our opinions on the current state of Star Trek. Just give kind of a little, you know, State of the Federation speech, I guess, at the end here.
I like it. State of the Federation.
Oh, we got the Federation is strong. And then talk about all the ways it's not or something. I don't know. Yeah. That's how those usually go, right?
Well, it can in a lot of ways. I think a good pragmatic speech is always the most important from people who are giving a state of anything. But unfortunately, sure, pragmatism is a little bit lost to more idealism these days, I suppose.
That doesn't get you votes. What are you talking
about? Right? I'm going to make every single pig in America wear lipstick.
And, there you go. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's kick things off with our 2020 review. And the first of all, the big thing, the thing that Star Trek is and traditionally has been is television. And we got a pretty good haul of Star Trek episodes this year. So a total of 40 episodes. We have season 5 of Star Trek Discovery, season 2 of Star Trek Prodigy, and then season 5 of Star Trek Lower Decks. Now, the unfortunate caveat when I typed this up and kind of realized it is that's the final season of Star Trek Discovery. That's the final season of Lower Decks and potentially the final season of Star Trek Prodigy. It's still, we don't know for sure. I'd say the good money is on that probably being it for Star Trek Prodigy, as much as it pains me to say that. So, you know, a good selection of things to watch, but that word final keeps cropping up and it makes me sad.
I also kind of had this feeling midway through the year when, especially when we started finding out that Prodigy was, or not Prodigy, sorry, that Lower Decks was going to be canceled.
Yeah.
And I just remember just feeling like maybe we're kind of coming to the end of this sort of micro cash cow that the franchise got. Just, you know, I think that there was a lot of abortive attempts and stuff for this the whole franchise as it's gotten back off the ground, I would say since 2009. So to kind of see this flow start to ebb, I guess I'm not terribly surprised and I'm not like 100% concerned. Star Trek does have a resiliency to it. And, you know, just because it's not at the forefront or something like that, I think the consolidation makes sense. I just don't necessarily agree with all the things they're consolidating on. They're definitely really trying to be that sensational, you know, over the top franchise. And I think they might have gotten rid of a good thing, especially when it came to Lower Decks. And yeah, I would argue between the two of us, we would probably agree that also Prodigy has been done pretty dirty overall.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I think it is. It's this idea that we've had a lot of Trek and we won't coming up as much on the television in 2025. And that sucks, but at the same time, that's how she goes, I guess.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. It feels like a hill has been crested a little bit. And not to put things in negative terms, I don't want to say we're on the downslope or, you know, like it, there could be more crests in the future and crests and troughs and all of that sort of stuff. But we're definitely headed into a bit of a trough right now. And when we get to our coming in 2025 segment, when it comes to television, even comparing it to this last year, it's kind of sad what is scheduled and what's going to be coming. So Lower Decks hurts. That one hurts.
Yeah.
Star Trek Prodigy was really a surprise gem that I'm very sad we may not get more. I'm trying to be optimistic on that, but, you know, Netflix doesn't have a good track record of, of, you know, renewing things that aren't absolute, complete, total smash hits. That's a maybe a wider discussion of the state of television these days. Things that aren't runaway, huge, mass appeal hits don't get, you know, 6-7 seasons anymore. And there's just really, you know, if there's a dedicated fan base who loves something and watches it, that's not enough. Like, it seems like, okay, you get your 2 or 3 or 4 seasons and that's it.
I agree. And I mean, in certain aspects, I don't mind shorter runs of series, right? Like, I like to be the curmudgeon who only likes the first 2 seasons of Downton Abbey, and I just don't watch anything else. I don't watch anymore. I have no interest. It's just something that might have happened, whatever. So in certain aspects, I don't mind shorter runs, but I guess in this respect, what gets me is how fickle it seems these streaming platforms tend to be, is that, you know, yeah, they see something that has a lot of long-term staying power, but they're more interested in a short-term explosive gain. And that's really it. So unfortunately, if you've got those interests sitting at the top, making big decisions, stuff like Star Trek, which is known for its ability to just have a nice, steady, slow burn, right? Like, I'm not really much of an economist, I guess you could say, but if I was investing in some kind of stock, Star Trek would be something that I would invest in, because you would get that, you know, slow amount of money incrementally every year, gradually growing and, you know, continuing to mature over time. I think that's the thing about Star Trek fans. But we don't, I guess we don't make enough money immediately, which is frustrating, because yeah, like here we were just talking about our holidays and, you know, we're streaming Star Trek, watching Star Trek, and we're also purchasing Star Trek paraphernalia. So, I mean, there, the cash cow's there. It's just, you're not going to make $1 million immediately. You're going to make $1 million in a couple of months, but that long-term gain idea just doesn't seem to be the thing. And unfortunately, I see that with all 3 of these canceled series.
Yeah, that's true. And add into that also the fact that the fan base for Star Trek is an aging group. Like, I think Star Trek Prodigy was a great step to kind of mitigate that a bit, but, you know, I guess we're shooting ourselves in that foot, I guess. I don't know.
Well, you know, in talking about us as an aging group, I don't necessarily go for the whole generation thing, but for the sake of argument, because I think most people have been kind of like, what is that, irony poisoned to generations, so we just sort of know them. I don't know if you consider yourself a Gen X or a millennial.
A geriatric millennial, apparently, which is same. Wonderfully flattering.
Yeah, elder millennial is what I get too. So
yeah.
Whatever that means, we are at child rearing age. And of the millennials I know who are into Star Trek, a lot of them have, you know, kids, and they are exposing them to Star Trek. But in that milieu of so many other things, I just don't think that streaming does the same thing that syndication once did for our parents, when our parents or grandparents, in my case, were introducing us to Star Trek. So to me, I wonder if it is just the idea that there's just so many choices now, so many different franchises, so many things that can pique our nostalgias as parents or that elder generation that's influencing the younger generation in terms of media, that maybe there's just so much out there that you're just not going to land on Star Trek as much. And it is something of an acquired taste, right? Like I tried to get my family into Star Trek and I have failed miserably, and that's okay. Right. It's nothing against them. Different interests for different people is 100% okay. But yeah, I just think that because it's a little more on the niche side, it's not as bombastic as Star Wars and other sorts of things. And I think it's been sort of pigeonhole caricatured by TV shows like The Big Bang Theory. And I know I like to rag on, it's only like we're hours into 2025 and I'm already complaining about Big Bang. Sorry. But I do think to some degree, that's the other piece of it, is that that franchise, right, that we love is unfortunately just a little outside of the mainstream still. But also, that's a bit of a badge of honor to some degree too.
A little bit. Yeah, it's walking this fine line for sure. It's tough. Yeah. Well, let's move on to films that came out in 2024.
All of the films.
That's hilarious. Yeah. What's not hilarious though, and this is something, and I can't remember exactly when this happened, but it was a few months back. I think it was in 2024 this happened. We are now, there's now a bigger gap between the last movie and the next one than there has been between any two Star Trek films ever. That's including between Star Trek Nemesis and Star Trek 2009. And all of that, that this is the largest gap since 1979, when Star Trek, the motion picture came out, that there hasn't been a Star Trek film.
Wow.
That's quite the milestone.
Huh? I feel that makes me feel a little mirror universe-y.
A little bit, right?
Yeah.
Now my thesis has always been that Star Trek is better on television than in the films anyway. With like, there are Star Trek films I absolutely love, but
I would say I agree.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's this little tiny person inside of me who's screaming right now, being like, what about The Wrath of Khan? What about 2009 Trek? What about Voyage Home?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Undiscovered Country, the first Trek movie I saw in the theater, which what an experience that was.
Yeah. Sorry to derail your point, but yeah, just for anyone else who just did that while they were listening to us.
No, and I agree. Like, there are films that I absolutely love. It sucks that there hasn't been a Star Trek film in long enough. Now, January 24th, of course, which we'll talk about, Section 31 comes out. Are we counting that as, like, breaking this dry spell of Star Trek films? Does that count? It's not a theatrical release. We could have an asterisk, you know, all of that stuff. But
I would agree. I want to call this a film, mainly because it's built like a film. It's got Hollywood level actors in it. Who are like no slouches, kind of thing. So there's that. And I think that like, that's maybe a direction that Star Trek can go in. And this is what I've been sort of thinking about for the last little while, about this dearth of films, and the sense that like, if Star Trek went in the direction of like these curated 4 to 6 episode miniseries, little arcs that we get, or just a solid film that doesn't get a theatrical release, but it'll still get a ton of viewership from most of the Star Trek fandom. And if it's built a little more, I guess, JJ style, it could bring in some more people, right? The only thing that might still have the issue is if someone knows that Star Trek coming in, they might be a little daunted by like, well, how much do I need to know before coming into this? Mm-hmm. That said, that's worked for like Loki. You really need to have some background to watch that show. I tried to watch a bit of it and my head exploded. So 'cause I just can't keep up. So maybe to some degree, this is the direction. Like, going to a movie theater to watch Star Trek is somewhat immaterial to me. I'll watch it on the very large TV I have in my living room or yours. So, and it's a better experience, right? I get to hang out with your dog.
Yeah.
That's
a really good point. I do miss the big days of going to the theater with a big release and all of that. And, you know, that I think, knock on wood, when we get to the 2025 thing, maybe I'm, you know, fool me 16 times, shame on me, but I feel like that's still in Star Trek's future. and I'm pulling for it. We'll see. But yeah, I agree. Section 31, I think we should consider a film.
Yeah.
And that will, I think, in, you know, the actual statistics of it, that's the next film after Star Trek Beyond. So, you know, it still is the biggest gap between any two Trek films previously. So.
It still holds the record, which sucks. But
yeah.
At the same time, now that the delicious nacho cheese, my wife found it, the stuff that you, that nacho cheese that you can get at the theater, and it's like maybe a molecule off being plastic. My wife found it on the shelf at one of our grocery stores in town. So I really don't need to go to a theater ever again at this point.
Nice.
The TVs are big enough. The sound system is good enough. I've got my nacho cheese. Now I can wear a quilt and pet a cat or a dog.
Yeah. So, I just want their popcorn popper. That's what I want.
Yeah. Well, we could plan a heist. That's always possible.
Well, so that's it. No films this year, but, you know, we'll talk about the future in the next little bit.
Yeah.
So moving on to books, and we'll do this fairly quickly. I know not everybody reads the novels. I'm a huge Star Trek novel fan, and we got four big novel releases this past year, plus one adaptation of an audio drama, which is just the script of the audio drama. Interesting release. But yeah, we had Star Trek Picard Firewall by David Mack. That was a story all about Seven of Nine and joining the Fenris Rangers. Very cool novel. Mm-hmm. Star Trek The Next Generation Pliable Truths by Dayton Ward, which was a great novel that kind of covered the transition from TNG to Deep Space Nine. So it was like the withdrawal of Cardassians from Bajor, and Picard and the Enterprise come to negotiate on Tarok Nor, which is not yet Deep Space Nine. Great novel, features Garrick, if you need one other reason to pick it up, by Dayton Ward. Good stuff.
I feel like that might be the Star Trek fiction novel I watch. That sounds awesome.
It was really good. I can absolutely lend it to you if you want.
Yeah.
It's a great book. For
sure. Cool.
We also had Star Trek, the original series, Lost to Eternity by Greg Cox, which was a great novel set in 2024 and in the Star Trek Times, featuring a podcaster doing a missing persons podcast, Whatever Happened to Gillian Taylor, and tying that to some events in the 23rd century, which was a lot of fun for sure.
That's a really neat concept.
Yeah. Man. I want to hear that podcast. That's what I want.
Right?
And then the final original novel from this year was Star Trek Strange New Worlds Asylum by Una McCormick. A great story about Number One at the Academy, and also a current day Strange New Worlds story about a group of an alien race that's negotiating with the Federation that has a cultural minority with several refugees within the Federation, and kind of the political fallout that comes from that. A bit of a prescient novel, you know, refugees and migrants is something that both the UK, where Una McCormick hails from, and North America have been dealing with. And the novel happened to come out on November the 5th, 2024. So huge apologies to Una for that, compete with things that day.
Evans.
Yeah. So those were the big novel releases. We also had an adaptation of the audio drama Star Trek Picard No Man's Land by Kirsten Beyer and Mike Johnson. And then other books of note, Star Trek Open a Channel, A Woman's Trek by Nana Visitor, Kieran Reese herself.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it was a great book. That was one that Brandy Jackla and I came back for a special episode, talked to Nana Visitor in November about. That was wonderful. Incredible book. Absolutely should be read by every Star Trek fan, I think.
Yeah. No. I'm wondering if this might... I don't know. I've always had this thought that Nana could come back and like write some Trek.
Yeah.
And I wonder. Maybe she did. Maybe it's not an interest of hers, but...
Could be, though. Yeah, for sure. We also probably a couple other books of note that I wanted to mention. We did have two Star Trek Explorer short story collections. So this collected the short stories from the Star Trek Explorer magazine. Two of those, each with 14 short stories in them by some really notable Star Trek authors. So definitely no shortage of Star Trek fiction if you look for it this past year. And then one that I wanted to shout out, which was a lot of fun, Star Trek Lower Decks Warp Your Own Way, which was an interactive graphic novel by Ryan North, put out by IDW. That was so much fun. It's like, you know, those old Choose Your Own Adventure books, but it's a graphic novel. It was wonderful. Really, really good.
I would, I want to see how well I do. So, I mean, what this really indicates to me is the fact that in a literary sense, Star Trek is alive and well and has been pretty consistently for, I would say, a good closing on 30 years, 40 years. Like, the Star Trek novels, the imagination that comes out of, you know, authors I know of well, like David Mack and Dayton Ward, for instance, right? Nothing against any others. I've read a lot of Ward and Mack. Of all of the Star Trek that I've read. This is a pretty great writer's list. I would love to see more of this kind of introspection, right? And I have to see the episode that you and Brandy did with Nana, because I haven't seen that yet. That would be... And yeah, just kind of build that, because I think building culture is one of the best things that Star Trek has always been able to do. And I think by doing stuff like this really does... help that culture solidify itself, and it cultivates it and it keeps it going. Mm-hmm. So if anything, you know, you being someone who reads a lot of Star Trek, I think that's where ultimately the strongest fandom will always be. And it's nice to see. This is an exciting list, and it's a list that, like, wow, I would read that, and I would read that, and I would read that. And I definitely want to see how quickly I get sucked into a nacelle in Warp Your Own Way.
Absolutely, yeah. The one thing I will say is, like, we are a little bit removed from the heyday of a novel a month from Pocketbook / Simon & Schuster. Mm-hmm. So four in the year plus the one kind of adaptation, definitely a step down from where it was back in the heyday. At one point, it was actually two novels a month, which is insane to think about. but it's still, like you said, it's a respectable list, and it continues to grow, which is really good. And also, I would encourage people to look outside of the Simon & Schuster umbrella of just the regular Star Trek novels. And then you'll find things like Nana Visitor's book and the short story collections and stuff like that. There really is a lot of Star Trek fiction out there.
Yeah, truly.
Well, from there, we've got comics I'll talk briefly about, which have been going incredibly strong under IDW. So they have their ongoing Star Trek and spin-off Star Trek Defiant comic series. They continued throughout 2024, along with a spin-off miniseries from that, which was the Sons of Star Trek, featuring Jake, Nog, Alexander, and Q Jr. That was a fun little multiversal type story. We had a new ongoing Star Trek Lower Decks series start in November. There's two issues out, with a third coming here in January now. Another miniseries, they finished up Star Trek Picard's Academy at the start of the year. And September saw the 500th Star Trek comic from IDW published, and they did a little special issue for that. So Star Trek comics from IDW going strong, which is really fun to see. And I will say, as someone who has been hurriedly catching up on the Star Trek and Star Trek Defiant series right now, they're telling some wild stories. They they've shaken the reins, and they're just like, they're running at a full out sprint. It's crazy what's going on.
Crazy. That's exciting. I actually had, one of my earlier gifts in the year was a couple of Star Trek comic books, and one was Dogs of War, which was
a great miniseries, yeah,
entertaining and delightful in a lot of ways. But you know, I again just really have to say that, like, seeing Star Trek comics and having collected a number in my day as well, I love to see the way that the characters get portrayed. You know, sometimes the artwork is very hyper-realistic, sometimes it's more simplistic, but it's nice to see different iterations of this. And Star Trek has had a fantastic run with IDW. It's great to see that they've landed well and have been there for a while now, I think.
Yeah, quite a while. Yeah, they've published more comics now than any other Star Trek comic publisher has. So that's even, you know, the what I really remember strongly is the 80s and 90s with DC and a lot of those runs, and they've surpassed that now. So they've been going strong for sure.
Nice.
Well, the last thing I wanted to mention, which was a sad thing this last year, the Star Trek Explorer magazine ended in December. And if you combine them with their other publishing of the Star Trek magazine, official magazine over the course of the years, that marks an end of 30 years of Star Trek magazine publishing by Titan magazines. So not an auspicious thing there. That makes me really sad. And end of an era for sure for them.
That's I guess I don't really have anything happy to say about that. That is just a really sad thing. But at the same time, you know, that does open up the possibility for other publications to fill that void, maybe. Mm-hmm. But it's sad to see them go, for sure.
It is, definitely. And I don't know how much you can attribute to, like, the general kind of decline of Star Trek. I think it's more the decline of print media than anything else. But it's unfortunate. They've done some really great work over the years, for mm-hmm. sure. And I don't know what else to say.
Print media in that form, because obviously the comics and the books are doing quite well.
Right.
But I think this sort of thing, most of it has migrated to the internet. A lot of this gets cultivated through, like, websites that run profiles on social media, I think, is a way of looking at kind of where print media has gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of ends our 2024 review on a bit of a sad note there, but I think there's some great takeaways to take away from that. There's all the television we've seen, and the books and comics, I think, are huge. So I guess, where does that leave us going into 2025? So basically, we're just going to run down everything we know that's coming for Star Trek in 2025. Positively Trek comes to you each week thanks to the efforts of our amazing Patreon members. If you'd like to help support the show, simply visit patreon.com/positivelytrek. Join at any level to get early access to ad-free episodes and exclusive content. For higher tiers, we offer shoutouts, associate producer credits, and more. We appreciate each and every one of our listeners. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Live long and prosper.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
As juxtaposed to 2024, we're going to actually start this section with films.
Yeah.
Because the first thing we get, as we mentioned earlier, is a new Star Trek film. Star Trek Section 31 on January 24th, streaming on Paramount Plus. Yeah. Are you looking forward to Section 31?
Exciting prospect. All I have to say is I haven't looked at any of the previews. I'm going into it blind, and I'm excited to be doing that because I think it has everything to offer in a lot of ways. I mean, just still, I mean, I know I've harped on about this before, but getting to keep Michelle Yeoh and her sounding like she really likes Star Trek, meaning that we might see more of her in the future, is exciting to me. And I'm excited and I'm looking forward to it, and I have zero expectations. I'm looking to be entertained.
I mean, Michelle Yeoh was a huge get for Star Trek from the beginning, and the fact that she's still done this movie even after all of her, I mean, she had huge successes before, but her career, we talked about peaks and troughs before. She's on a huge peak right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, yeah, she's been willing to come back to do this film, that's incredible. I know there's a segment of fandom that's kind of very wary about this, and I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit like, ooh, Section 31, I don't know, is that something we want to be celebrating? But I don't know. I'm excited for this. I'm excited to see what they do with it. Anytime they kind of play with the genre a little bit and do something a little bit different, I think that's never a bad thing. There can be misses, but you know, I appreciate experimentation. So
I think that's where I'm at too, is Star Trek has always, it's hit a lot with its experimentation. It's also missed. Mm-hmm. There's been times.
Oh yeah.
For sure. But yeah, no, I'm looking for something that's going to give me a lot of entertainment, and it's going to give me something different, right? You know, outside of the usual. And I think to some degree, Star Trek Picard tried to do that. So yeah, let's see what they've got. I'm excited for the 24th.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we have a bit of stuff to talk about with other Star Trek films that, again, I'm hesitant to talk about Star Trek theatrical release news, mm-hmm. because it so often turns into not the biggest news, but the one movie that seems to kind of be sticking around that they're going with is what is still called the untitled Star Trek Origin movie. So it's being directed by Toby Haynes with Seth Graham Smith as the screenwriter. Simon Kinberg has apparently been tapped to produce and shepherd the Star Trek film franchise. And the latest news is that this is set to go into production in the first half of 2025. And that news came about mid-November of 2024. So that's the last news we have on this. If that's true, we may be looking at them starting production within the next few months. Hopefully we hear some new news about that and what's going forward and what the heck the film's actually about. Star Trek Origin. I don't know. It raises a lot of question marks for Star Trek fans who, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. As you can tell, I'm breathing. I'm not going to hold my breath.
Yes, absolutely.
and again, like, do we need another reboot? Do we need that? And I mean, every franchise likes to do it. How many times has Spider-Man rebooted? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, Batman too. It's Superman is going to get a reboot too, I think.
Yeah.
Because they're so deep in our modern popular culture, I think a movie with Kirk and Spock and McCoy could basically land anywhere. They don't need to do an origin. They would have to introduce new characters, and I understand that they'd have to recast Kirk and Spock and McCoy and everybody else, and that's fine. But at what point are we just trying the same tactic that every other franchise has done? And has that ever done us any good? Would be my question. Babylon 5 notwithstanding.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Without knowing what exactly this movie is, and like there've been 3 or 4 little blurbs explaining what it is, but each one is a little bit contradictory. Like this takes place in the Star Trek Enterprise era. And it's like, wait, are they talking about the series Star Trek Enterprise? Or are they talking about it takes place like around the USS Enterprise? Like it's blurbs said by people who obviously don't have the encyclopedic knowledge of Star Trek that we do. And I'm like, I just want to pin them down and be like, what do you mean by that? And nobody seems to want to do that. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to read some books this year. I think that's,
I think so. Yeah. Well, the other thing, and we just have to mention it, in all of the talk of this Star Trek Origin movie, it keeps coming up that Star Trek 4 is still a thing, that they do plan somehow to get the Kelvin timeline group back together to make another post Star Trek Beyond movie. And combining that with, like I said, the big gap between the big movies, like we're getting into the point where they're going to be doing Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan style aging crew member stories. Like, are we going to get another movie of Kirk dealing with the fact that he's getting older again? Like, not that that's a bad thing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing at all, but like, it's been a while since Star Trek Beyond. That was 2016, 2017. We're coming up, we're 2025 now. It's getting close to a decade after.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the JJ-verse did a fine job getting the momentum up, but that momentum is gone. It's gone off a cliff like a Ford Mustang would, being driven by a young James Tiberius Kirk. It's all over, and that's okay. And you know, here we kind of lamented the loss of certain franchise series that I think had more staying power. Letting the JJ verse stay where it belongs in the kind of that 2010s era is perfect. It really is a solid snapshot of the popular culture at the time. The movies act like roller coaster rides. They're great. I don't think we need to beat a dead horse anymore. It's you're right. The aging sort of thing, like, yeah, Chris Pine coming back as Kirk, you know, yeah, he has aged and that's okay. So have we.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the last thing I want to mention with films, and I just stuck it here because it's, you know, kind of a feature length thing like the Deep Space Nine documentary was. Mm-hmm. We have the Voyager documentary, which has been long delayed thanks to various things, COVID, worker action in Hollywood, all of that sort of thing. To the Journey, looking back at Star Trek Voyager, which was premiered for some people and live events towards the end of 2024, will be released on Blu-ray and DVD in the spring. So Voyager fans, you're getting your Deep Space Nine What We Leave Behind style documentary. And I'm excited for this. I will definitely check it out. I know they've been working on it for a long time, and the filmmakers behind it make some really good stuff. So very cool.
I'm excited to see it too. I am 100% not a Voyager completionist, but a Voyager appreciator through and through. So, you know, it'd be wonderful to have a nice solid retrospective for what was a fantastic, fantastic series.
Definitely. Well, let's move on to television. And unfortunately, 2025 is a little bleaker on the television front than 2024 was, with, as of right now, confirmed that 10 episodes of Star Trek will be released in 2025. And that is Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 3. And that is it, because Star Trek Starfleet Academy is in production.
Yeah.
They're making it. But it's likely, from what we've been hearing, to hit screens in 2026. So not until, I can say next year now, because it is now 2025. True. But yeah, so that's a little bit sad that is potentially and likely all we're getting this year.
Yeah, I don't know. It is going to be a bit of a jarring shift from the amount that we got this past year, as it is now 2025, versus what we're going to get. And it's hard to kind of process that into anything because we haven't experienced that yet. Mm-hmm. But I do think that for those of us who like to talk about Star Trek, it's going to give us a bit of a launch pad to look at maybe talking about something like To the Journey, talking about these movies that are going to be made, like Star Trek Section 31, Barry's literary catch-up, which is always a thing because I'm never catching up. So it's you know, this gives me some time to do that. And, you know, I think Strange New Worlds has been solid through and through. It's not as much to my tastes, I guess you could say, in certain ways, but I'm not gonna fault anyone for liking the show. I'm very excited though for Starfleet Academy. I think that's that could become, pun intended, the new flagship in a lot of ways, I think. And I hope it will. And I hope that, you know, lessons from Discovery, from Lower Decks, from Prodigy can be attributed and brought into the writing and creation of this, because I think Star Trek has learned that it doesn't need to take itself so seriously, that it can take some risks and write them. and that looking at people learning how to Star Trek is kind of the way we get into getting a next generation, right? Prodigy was supposed to be that, and mm-hmm. it's gone. So maybe a Starfleet Academy could bring those young outsiders, especially in to the franchise itself. So yeah, I have a lot of hope. And if it's going to take a year to happen, that's fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you say a lot of great things that I absolutely agree with regards to Starfleet Academy, especially. And I remember when they first announced it, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, they're going with that. Okay, cool. But the more I hear about it and the more they announce about it, the more things come out about it, the more excited I am for it. Like, mm-hmm. it's kind of clear to me that Star Trek is kind of putting their credits down on this one, right? Like they're making a wager on this, and I really, really hope it pays off for them. I mean, Holly Hunter is a lead in the series,
right?
Paul Giamatti. A recurring villain throughout season one. We've got the return of Robert Picardo to the franchise as the EMH in mm-hmm. the series. Following, I should say, by the way, if you haven't checked it out, Star Trek Prodigy season two, he's in that as well. And he's amazing. He's great. We've got the return of Tilly and Jet Reno and Admiral Vance, a slate of new young stars who could be, you know, in for a wild career after this, you know, like, that's one of the things I'm most excited for. This is a launching pad for these young people's careers. How cool is that? You got get your start on Starfleet Academy as a cadet. That's, mm-hmm. that's a cool Hollywood story. That's pretty neat.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. The ability to cast talent is something that Star Trek has always been able to do. And there's mm-hmm. a lot of talent coming into this. Do you know offhand who we're looking at for writers? Cause I don't.
I do know that Tawny Newsome is yes. one of the staff writers.
So my confidence is even higher.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, hello. I think that's it is, you know, I don't want to necessarily put all my eggs in one basket. That would be silly. And I mean, I guess I was a little bit underwhelmed with some of the initial volleys from Discovery to some degree. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't with a lot of other of the new stuff, right? So I guess ultimately a lot of lessons have been learned, and I hope that cutting Lower Decks and doing Prodigy dirty, if Starfleet Academy turns out well, maybe I'll be a little less butthurt about about what we've lost, what we're leaving behind.
Yeah, for sure. Noga Landau is the co-showrunner with Alex Kurtzman as well. So,
okay. There you go.
Yeah, definitely some talent there for sure. Mm-hmm. And apparently a second season is already in development as well, as they released a while ago.
But yeah.
They definitely have, like, the powers that be have seen it. And they've said we're doing a season two. So mm-hmm. that Good. Fills me with some confidence as well, I think.
Good.
All right. Well, from there, let's move on to books. And we do only at this point have two confirmed Star Trek novels for 2025, which is a little bit low. Uh-huh. Usually by now there's a couple more or at least one more announced, but I would say we're probably going to get at least one more, if not two more than what we have here. Both of these are Star Trek Strange New Worlds novels, which kind of makes sense. That's the series that's coming out this year. They're going to want to kind of use your books to gin up interest in the show and vice versa, mm-hmm. right? So yeah. Strange New Worlds Toward the Night by James Swallow is coming on April 29th. And then Ring of Fire by David Mack is coming on August 26th. So looking forward to those for sure. I love both of those writers.
Yeah.
James Swallow, definitely a writer of note outside of Star Trek as well. And David Mack, of course, just an incredible Star Trek writer.
Yeah.
So very excited for those.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense that we'd also see a pretty Strange New Worlds heavy, novel year, as we are only getting that for the year of 2025 as well. So mm-hmm. yeah, well, I mean, you're right. I mean, it's all killer, no filler, at least, and you know, quality over quantity, we can basically call when it comes to the books for sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm surprised they haven't announced a Section 31 novel of some kind. I feel like somebody has pitched that, and maybe that'll come later. I don't know.
Yeah.
Feels like a no-brainer, but maybe not. One tie-in that they are doing for Section 31, though, is there is a Section 31 tie-in comic from IDW coming in February. So that'll be interesting. And then in the comics front, we also have the Star Trek and Star Trek Defiant ongoing series are continuing at least into March. That's where the solicits are up to at this point. And April sees the first issue of Lore War, which is the big comic crossover between Star Trek and Star Trek Defiant for 2025. So yeah, Lore's up to his universe ending shenanigans, I guess.
Oh, Lore. Come on, man.
Yeah.
He's a good evil villain and relatively underutilized in some cases. And then in other cases, without Brent Spiner getting to be Lore, I don't know. I like the fact that this is like it's a crossover within the franchise itself too, which gives me an idea that like, as you said, some pretty wackadoo stuff has been happening in Defiant. So,
bring the
wackadoo onto the mainstream is, I guess, the plan.
It's totally nuts, but it's fun as heck. So, yeah, it's Star Trek series is Captain Sisko of the USS Theseus, and on his crew is like Data, Dr. Crusher, Scotty, and then a few original characters. And then on Star Trek Defiant, it's, you know, Renegade Worf leading the Defiant crew of Ro, B'Elanna Torres. I forgot Tom Paris is on Sisko's ship as well. Mm. Yeah, it's wild. It's all that over. Sounds wild. Oh, Ambassador Spock is with Worf as well. It's crazy.
It's like somebody played STO in Star Trek Timelines and decided to make a comic book about it.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. I bet you that's where they get the storyboards from. I love it.
Yeah, right? Why not? use what you have.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a comic, right? Go nuts. Yeah. It's fun.
Go for it.
I enjoy it. Every issue I read, I'm like, wow, that was great.
I love it.
Well, other quick things that I wanted to talk about, something I'm excited for this year. My little acquisitional heart is happy about this. The Nacelle Company and their line of action figures that they're putting out this year, and specifically a range of figures that their whole mission is to do things that no other company has done before. So they're doing, I think, Rachel Garrett, Wei Yun, Peter Preston, Tuvix.
To go where no company has gone before.
Oh, Captain Edward Jellicoe.
Oh, that's a gooder.
Valkris from Star Trek III. You might remember her as that woman Klingon who has like, you know, two lines.
Yeah.
And then rounding out that is Mirror Archer in the green wraparound tunic from Enterprise.
Delightful.
And Captain Sulu from Star Trek VI.
Oh, wow.
So I'm excited about these. Their price point, they're saying, is they're aiming for under $30 a figure. Now, that'd be $30 US, so a little bit more expensive for us here in Canada, I would imagine. But the quality looks really good. They had a couple at a convention recently they were showing off, and they look amazing. So
that's fantastic.
I want to get these. And the thing is, I think they're making a good choice by going for the really obscure stuff, because if this was, you know, Captain Kirk, Captain Picard, and Data, I wouldn't get them. I have enough of them. That's fine. These, I want all of them.
Maybe they'll come out with an Odo in his bucket action figure.
That would be great.
Just a little bucket.
Totally.
Oh, that'd be brilliant.
But yeah, I'm excited for those. I want them.
I want to see them. I want to see what's, I want to like handle them and get up close to them. So yeah, I will work initially vicariously for you and just keep my fingers crossed for that Odo bucket that, that I now want for my birthday.
Absolutely. And then, okay. So I had just some question marks for the rest of the year now. Mm-hmm. So something we've heard about for a while. It initially started as a mini series and then turned into a dramatic podcast, apparently. The Con SETI Alpha 5 podcast from Nick Meyer. We've been told they're casting it. They're doing things in it. Is that coming this year? We haven't heard much news on that. Curious about that. More novels. I want some more novel announcements than the two we've gotten. I'm sure we will. Mm-hmm. And then this one just popped up a couple days ago, and it's a rumor at this point, but with Blue Bricks having lost the license for Star Trek buildable toys, apparently there's a rumor out there that there's a Star Trek Lego set coming sometime in 2025. And this would be the first time that Lego ever did Star Trek. That's interesting.
I'm going to hold that very strongly as a rumor. Mm-hmm. I don't know where Lego is at. I know they have other very successful and lucrative franchise, so that's something. But I mean, if it happens, that would be neat. But I'm sticking that one in the solid rumor mill. I feel like that might go the direction of the next Star Trek movie as well. But then, yeah, yeah. Is there going to be another buildable brick toy that the Star Trek franchise is going to find a home in? I don't know. I'm maybe thinking not. We might see that kind of fade out for a little while. But yeah. Again, this is just a prediction. In terms of your SETI Alpha 5 podcast, though, that's something that really interests me, because I think as a very niche medium, that's something that is very interesting. And I think so many people travel, so many people like listening to podcasts while they're doing stuff. I feel like that could be a neat little untapped niche that could really get some play in that respect. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there's a big space for audio dramas, and I think Star Trek is a really good one for it. Like, we saw this, for example, with Lower Decks. You know, you can bring some of these stars back for voice work. Like, mm-hmm. if you can do your Star Trek role in your pajamas,
like, right?
You're going to bring back the Andy Robinsons, the Jolene Blalocks, the people mm-hmm. reprising their roles, you know, years after their runs ended. Mm-hmm. You know, Lower Decks showed us that, but also we had the No Man's Land audio drama from Star Trek Picard mm-hmm. a couple years ago, which I loved. I thought that was great. And, you know, Con SETI Alpha 5. Yeah. Like, let's hear this. Let's do all kinds of stuff in this medium. Big Finish does some great work with the Doctor Who franchise in this arena, bringing back yeah. old doctors and old companions and stuff. Star Trek can really do something great with this, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have Ricardo Montalban anymore, but yeah. through the wonders of artificial intelligence or just a very talented voice actor, I feel like that'd be a cinch to mm-hmm. continue even into that. And I feel like, yeah, tapping into these audio dramas, I've watched a few, I've listened to a few, and they're captivating, they're fun. I mean, if you're in a car with friends and they all like Star Trek, I mean, and you've got a 3-hour trip, say you're doing something, I feel like that's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, hopefully we get some news on that this year. That would be wonderful. If not a release this year, that would be mm-hmm. really cool. And yeah, Star Trek Lego. I'll keep my ear to the ground on this one. There's some websites that have nothing to do with Star Trek that are reporting it that I'm like, that's interesting. So we'll see.
I hope I'm wrong. I hope my it's just a rumor and will remain that way. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So let's transition into the last bit here. Our final opinions about what is the state of Star Trek going into 2025? Do we feel that Star Trek is on good footing with some exciting stuff for the future? Do we feel like there's a little bit of shaky ground here? What's your opinion?
Your trough analogy is definitely where we're headed. And this is going to be, it's going to be a bit of a difficult go, because I have seen the powers that be act in a very fickle way and discarding what I would consider to be a good thing. Something that had staying power, something that could last a long time, but maybe not necessarily hit those number one hit peaks that it appears that all of these different platforms want their respective franchises to hit. So I think we're not going to get a bad State of Trek coming in this year, but we are going to see that momentum that has sort of skittered and sputtered a little bit. I think we're really going to see that momentum wind down, but at the same time, I think it's going to increase the level of anticipation, I think, for Star Trek Academy, and that could unfortunately put too much anticipation on Star Trek Academy, and we might wind up, you know, kind of having an underwhelming performance if it doesn't hit really high. And I worry also that if it actually is pretty good, but it doesn't hit immediately high, that it'll just get canceled as well within two or three seasons. So I would say that the State of Trek is, you know, it is hitting that trough and it's going to be there for a while. And it's nothing that you or I aren't accustomed to. We've been there before. Mm-hmm. And I think the only thing that's going to get Trek out of its current trough is reimagination. And I think Discovery attempted it. I think Strange New Worlds has attempted it. I think that in every case, the reimaginations have hit and missed. But unfortunately, where they've hit more with the audience than they have with the streaming platforms. Mm. And that's going to unfortunately affect things. So I would say that if you're a diehard Star Trek fan who wants to see more Star Trek on your screen, maybe you want to switch to print, because there's a lot of really good things there. So in the mainstream, Star Trek might be in a bit of trouble. But when we look at the publications, when we look at the novels, when we look at the comic books, I think Star Trek is alive and well. And I would much prefer that alive and well state than losing it completely outright.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's my State of Trek.
I love it. I find myself agreeing with a lot of what you're saying there. There's a lot to be celebrating. I think, you know, Strange New Worlds has been doing fairly well, and season three, from what they're saying, sounds like it's going to be a fun season. It's already renewed for a fourth season as well. Mm-hmm. The fact that Starfleet Academy is coming at some point and has been renewed for a second season at some point as well is that buoys my hopes a bit. Mm-hmm. There's been a few things that have happened over the past couple of years in Star Trek that, unfortunately, I'm a little bit like, either I'm completely out of touch with what Star Trek fans want, or the powers that be are taking the wrong lessons. And I hope that's not the case, but like, I really enjoy the big swings. I enjoy the experimentation. As I've said before, I enjoy the trying new things. I worry a little bit that the success of Strange New Worlds, which is a little bit of a return to an older format of Star Trek, and the fact that Star Trek Picard season 3 brought back a bunch of legacy stuff and was a season of fan service. As much as I love, and I enjoyed the heck out of that season. Yeah. I really did. But it was very much, you know, ooh, let's get Star Trek Legacy going now. Let's bring back all these old characters. Let's hit all these high notes and stuff. I think that's good. Like that's a really good thing for a short term gain, but that's not something that you can base the longevity of a franchise on. And I think things like Star Trek Prodigy and potentially Starfleet Academy are things that you can base more of a long-term prospect on, bringing in new fans, doing new and different things with the IP rather than rehashing the same old. And over the past few weeks, we've also had the release from OTOY and the Roddenberry Archives of the Unification short, which was kind of that long dialogue-less retrospective where they did digital prosthetics on an actor to bring Captain Kirk back to life and have him say goodbye to Spock. And yeah, it was touching and well done, but like, that's not what I want the future of Star Trek to be this constant looking back. I want new and interesting things. So I think there's room for both. I just hope that the lesson isn't that, well, we just have to do this. We just have to do all this and people will be happy, you know?
Yeah. Nostalgia is a rut. And it can really hamper your progress forward. So, Yeah, I think reinvention needs to be the name of the game, and that short-term gain concept that seems to run most of what happens in our media, unfortunately, is going to harm franchises like Star Trek, because Star Trek isn't about the big, sweeping, extreme high point. It's about consistency, which, you know, economically speaking, that's something what I prefer as well. And I guess, like, you know, to kind of wedge in my little economic analysis, I mean, this is kind of what you see in the world right now, is it's a lot of short-term gains being pursued rather than long-term delayed gratification. And yeah. So I applaud you, Dan, for knowing that your presents will come. They will arrive, and you are taking your time, and you're not worried about it, because the future is where we'll be. So let's make sure it's a good one rather than get everything now. So yeah, let's make sure that this trough that we're headed into doesn't become a nostalgia rut to try to, you know, juice this franchise, and we go for something more long term. We've got Holly Hunter, we've got Paul Giamatti, we've got Michelle Yeoh. I'm just rattling out the good actors who are newish to the franchise. Plus, we've got a whole bunch of brand new talent that are ready to lead the way. And I think that's what needs to happen, is we need to really embrace that. I don't know how we can get that across to the people who do all the check signing and everything like that, those boards of directors. But I wish we could, as a fandom, could have we could just Skype in or something to one of their meetings and be like, okay, look, you're going to get your money, bud. You're just going to have to wait a little, because, you know, we're not going to fill movie theaters, but we're going to buy a lot of stuff and we're going to watch a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. You just give us the good stories that we deserve, right? So yeah. State of Trek. I don't know. It's the state of the world, kind of. I'm really not sure what to expect in 2025.
Yeah, no kidding. Whew. Isn't that the truth? But yeah, we're going to keep the conversation going here, though. So please, if you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast. Check us out also on YouTube. This is kind of a new thing we're doing. The last couple special episodes have had episodes on YouTube that you can actually, you know, watch us talk. Check us out there and subscribe. Check out our Patreon if you're interested in helping out the podcast as well. Find us on Blue Sky and Facebook and all of the social media places. Join us in our next episode, where we will be talking about Star Trek Section 31. As you know, our episode will come out on the same day that movie drops, and we're very excited about that. So
very excited.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much for joining us. As always, until next time, stay positive. Positively Trek is produced and edited by me, Dan Gunther, and co-produced by Barry DeFord on Treaty 8 territory, the home of the Beaver, Cree, Dene, and Métis people, whose histories, languages, and cultures we respect. We acknowledge the many First Nations, Métis, and Inuit who have lived in and cared for these lands for generations.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.